Good morning and welcome to ASI Radio's Tuesday morning show. This is a special Wednesday virtual trade show edition of our radio program, and we have a packed studio today. We have some guests in the studio with us, and we have some of our regular old cronies in here. We're going to start off with the editor of Advantages.
I call us old biddies for a second.
Biddies.
Speaking
biddies.
Of old, let's start with Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine. Kathy, good morning.
Buenos dias.
Oh, buenos dias. How was your Valentine's Day?
It was just lovely. How was yours?
It was terrific. It's actually Shane's birthday.
So I know. Happy birthday, Shane.
I gave him a shout out yesterday. Also in studio with us is another one of our old regulars. That would be the editor of Supplier Global Resource and senior editor of Counselor Magazine, Michelle Bell. Michelle,
bonjour, good morning.
Joe. What did the cats get for Valentine's Day yesterday?
Oh, they Snickers got a visit to the vet.
They got fuzzy little blankets.
Oh, really?
Really? All right, as we move along here, joining us in the studio today from our marketing department, it is Colin Graff. Colin, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm terrific. Did you go to the spa for any pre-Valentine's Day treatment?
I did. I got a little paraffin spa on my hands, a little facial massage, scalp massage, the whole nine.
I love that. And
for real?
And how much did that cost you?
A cool $40.
Cool $40. $16 for this head. $16.
All right, you sound like Steve.
Honestly, Joe, it shows.
What's that place called here? The Hair Barn?
Nick's.
Whatever.
Nick's. It's not the Hair Barn. It's not a big chain. It's just a regular barbershop. Also joining us in the studio is Karen DiTomaso. She is the vice president of ASI Shows. Karen, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Are you excited about today's virtual trade show?
Very excited about the virtual trade show. Looks like traffic is really building. Exhibitors are pumped. Looks like it's going to be a great day.
Okay, now, we know that he's not going to be saying anything, but also joining us from the ASI show is Bill Kahn. So, welcome, Bill.
I think he should say something.
Hi, Bill.
Okay, he said hi to everyone. Okay, manning the switchboard, as usual, is Kirk the Rooster Thomas. There we go. He's right on top of that. Also in the studio with us is one of our newer members of ASI Central. That's known and known. I'm sorry, I forget your last name.
Noonwa
is with us today.
Really? You forgot that?
I did. And also, as usual, answering your phone calls. You can call us for anything today, 215-953-4979 is Facebook. Vinny Driscoll, he's that sultry voice that says ASI Radio when you call in. So give us a call. But before we get to anything, Kathy's going to give us a rundown of all the things we're going to get to today.
Well, we're going to be checking in with exhibitors, obviously, at the virtual trade show. And I'll be trolling around the chat room, too. Talking to some people. Karen's going to have 3 tips for effectively attending a virtual trade show, so that should be interesting. Michelle's going to have 5 common mistakes small businesses make, and Michelle will also talk about the luxury market and its customers. Colin is going to explain what fan sourcing is. Is it the future of customer service, Colin?
Could be.
Stay tuned. And Michelle will give us the most annoying business jargon.
Can I tell you what 2 of them are? Pluses and deltas.
I hate that.
Me too.
I really do. But first, what are we going to do first, Joe?
You're
check in with the exhibitors.
You're going to throw it back to me, Kathy.
I'm throwing it back to you.
What I love about the virtual trade show is it gives distributors an opportunity to talk one-on-one with suppliers from the comfort of their office, and they can also tend to other business during the day as well. Mm-hmm. They can answer emails, answer phone calls, because they're sitting in their office, and they can do this all in their jammies if they wanted to. So, before we go any further, we're going to check in with Colin, who's checking in with the exhibitors. Colin, what's going on?
There's a lot going on, Joe. There's several hundred people already on the show floor.
Wow.
I checked in with 3 suppliers so far, TCMPI. This is actually their second virtual trade show, so they're a veteran. They're having a good time. I also checked in with Brand Rims and Sweatband Watches. Both of them, they're first-time exhibitors. And the only complaint so far is that they can't type fast enough.
That's a good complaint to have.
It actually is.
It's a good problem.
You know, I do about 40 words a minute, you know, with the hunt and peck with 4 fingers, so I feel their pain.
What time is the trade show open until today?
The trade show is open until 3 o'clock today.
It is. Great.
And you can log on at, Karen?
I don't have the actual address.
It is asicentral.com/VTS. That's asicentral.com/VTS.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
He is a Victor.
We're going to check back in with Colin a little later, who will still be out there on the trade show floor talking to exhibitors. But right now, Karen, give us 3 tips for effectively attending virtual trade shows.
Sure thing, Joe. And this is for the distributors. Make sure you stop at each booth. Talk to the booth reps about specific projects you're working on. Often distributors and events, you know, may not have their goals in mind, But I think it's very important. This is the perfect time to talk with suppliers about specific client needs, even though it's a virtual trade show. Build time into your schedule to take advantage of ASI education being offered at the show. Each session qualifies for points towards your ASI certification. The focus on the 25-plus sessions being offered is sales and marketing. We're hearing and seeing a shift in the economy, guys. Distributors and suppliers are feeling very, very bullish. Yeah. So it's more important than ever to look for new sales, all those techniques, marketing tools to stick out, as well as keep abreast of niche markets that you can expand into. Stop in the virtual lounge today. Network with other sales professionals. It's really quite amazing how much the virtual trade show offers. Take advantage of it. From the exhibitor side, it's really important to exhibit since, you know, a lot of our distributors who attend these virtual events do not attend our live events, almost 90%. So take advantage of that, exhibitors. It's a great event.
Yep.
Now, one of the other people in the lounge is Kathy Houston, and she does Advantages Magazine, which is a salesperson-focused magazine, so she can give you her insight as well. The other thing I love about the trade show is that not only can you talk to suppliers, but you can also get catalogs and brochures and information like that sent to you through your briefcase.
You can.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, Michelle.
Yes.
Small businesses.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yes. Oh, I like that, sir. small businesses. Okay, you're a small business. You're just starting out there. There's some mistakes that a lot of them tend to make. What are they?
There are five. I'm not going to go through all five now. We'll post them on our website at www.asicentral.com/radio. The first and foremost, hiring out of desperation. You start your business. It's doing well. You get overwhelmed. You know, you feel like you need somebody to help, and you just snap somebody up right off the bat. The better way to do it, the experts say, is if you find yourself caught off guard and you need help in a hurry, considering using a temp agency to fill the vacancies until you find out truly what your needs are, how the business cycle is going to play out. For example, a staffing agency, you know, they'll handle the time-consuming interviews, they'll do the basic skill testing, they'll do background checks, and this will give you a chance to really kind of find a perfect fit for the employees who will work for you and your company. Next, and this is a big one, underestimating startup costs. Many entrepreneurs grossly underestimate the amount of capital they'll need to launch their businesses and keep it running for the first year or so. So even if you've calculated the costs of retail space, equipment, inventory, your own living expenses, as well as any legal expenses for incorporating and licensing and patents and stuff like that, it's easy to forget or underestimate the costs of things like marketing, insurance, and utilities. And it's a good idea to set money aside during the boom times to create a cash reserve for when times get lean.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's really important. Number three, micromanaging. If you're entrepreneurs are famous for this, you know, that's their company, it's their baby, and they feel as though they can do everything. And as the company gets bigger, you know, it's hard for them to kind of relinquish control because their mindset is, and I feel the same way sometimes, it's easier for me to do something and just get it out of the way. And I know you're the same way,
I feel like
Kathy.
That too.
Yeah, not so.
Right.
It's really important to hire smart people and delegate to them and have the faith in them to do it. Mm-hmm. The last one, I'm just going to mention this briefly, but is, you know, again, this is a problem specific to entrepreneurs, especially letting your business consume your life, because the reason one would think that you wanted to become an entrepreneur was to control your own schedule.
Right.
Don't let the schedule overtake you. So we will post all of these on our website.
You know, a few years ago for Counselor Magazine, we followed startup distributors over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was me, Andy, and Melinda, and Andy and Melinda's company did very well. The company that I followed for a year was out of business within 13, 14 months of starting up. And one of their problems was that getting capital, trying to find the money for all the costs. Another problem with her is that she also focused on her business plan too much and, you know, just tweaking it and refining it and tweaking it instead of actually going out and, you know,
you just gotta do it.
Doing
you
some
gotta
work.
Go out and sell.
You know, the other thing you would say, Michelle, is about just hiring anyone. You know, she was trying to hire someone to help with sales as well. And I think she was just taking the first person that came at her. She went through two people like that. They weren't able to make any sales whatsoever, were reluctant to get on the phone, to even do some cold calling, didn't want to do any type of canvassing either. So, but she was taking anyone who was willing to come on and work for a 50-50 split.
I think that temp agencies are a great stopgap measure. I mean, certainly we've used them here where, you know, we've had temps and we've ended up hiring those temps just because we got to know them, they got to know us, and it just works really well. I think that it's a big mistake. You know, you feel desperate, you feel trapped, you feel like, oh God, you know, I'm so overwhelmed, I need somebody, to just hire the first person that walks in.
Was there anything on that list in regard to marketing or advertising?
Just that, unfortunately, with all the other expenses that entrepreneurs think of, that's often, as Colin rolls his eyes, the last things that they think of. Big mistake, because that's something that you can do that, if you get creative with how you spend your money on marketing, can really offer a lot of bang for the buck for your business right out of the gate.
Absolutely. There are also a lot of free opportunities that you can utilize for marketing your brand new business that people don't think of or just don't utilize enough.
So I think the takeaway here for the distributors is that, you know, our industry is a very cost-effective means of advertising and marketing, and that, you know, they have an opportunity now to go in and help those small businesses.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. We are going to the lounge. Look at Kathy. She's got her
lounge.
Hands up. She's raising the roof at the lounge.
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. All right. Buy Kathy a virtual drink while you're there. Bye, Kath. What's going on in the lounge?
Well, I'm talking to Judy Brown, and I believe she's in the Seattle area because she said she went to the Seattle Road Show last week.
Oh, cool.
And she really enjoyed it. And she has a question. Well, first of all, she says she picked up several new product samples that she's already shared with customers at the Advantages Road Show. And she's working on a targeted self-promo to realtors with items from Endura Line. Now, she needs some ideas. I told her I'd ask the radio hosts. She spent time the past few days working with two customers who need giveaway items for wedding shows, which is ironic because somebody just asked us for that, Michelle.
That's true.
And she's offered several ideas. Anything come to mind that you've seen? One customer is a photographer and the other is a travel agent. Joe, of the Joe Show fame, you might have some ideas in your little head.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kathy. You know, as for the photographer, I would give away a microfiber lens cleaning cloth. It ties into his business because he would clean his camera lens. But also, anyone can use them if they're using iPads. You need to clean your screen. If you're using an iPhone, you need that to clean your screen as well. You use it on your computer screen back in the office. And if you have eyeglasses, sunglasses, you can use it on that. So the photographer can put all his contact information on that. He can actually get a four-color process done on some of those, and he can take – you know, wedding shots that he's taken at weddings and put them on those cloths. So it's an opportunity for him to show his wares, get his information out there, and also provide a product that's going to be useful to the recipients.
Very good idea, Joe.
Okay,
what about
you.
The travel agent?
The travel agent? You know, travel agent can do a lot of different things, but if they want to focus on, you know, sending couples to a certain type of destination, whether it's out to a ski area, whether it's to an island, I would focus on something specific to those areas. You know, you might want to do flip-flops, you know, with the cutout soles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the impression, leave that in the sand. If you're hoping to book honeymoon trips to, you know, tropical destinations, if you're going to send them, maybe they're a little adventurous and they want to go hiking. I mean, Jake from our marketing department, he went to Costa Rica.
He did.
Mm-hmm. He went there, and he was, you know, through the rainforest and the jungles and stuff. So some people are a little more adventurous with their honeymoon. So, you know, think about that. If they want to go skiing, if they're getting married, because not everyone gets married in June, Kathy. You know that, right?
I got married in September, Joe.
There you go. I got married in April.
How about luggage tags?
Yeah.
Luggage tags would be a great thing. You can there are suppliers that offer you the opportunity to upload your own image for your luggage tag. I have one that's got a picture of my son with a Joe Show towel. And when that comes around, I see that tag. I say, I know that's mine.
Mm-hmm.
So you can upload your own picture to that. So that's a great idea.
And
too.
Industry suppliers have lots of great luggage tags now, too. You know, light up ones and whatnot. So like you said, Joe, you could easily spot your bag on the thing.
One idea for both of them could be a picture frame. A
mm-hmm.
picture frame for the travel agent of the trip that they've taken. And for the photographer, that's obvious. And you could use both as table cards.
Look at Colin.
Colin says.
Colin, rocking us from the marketing
throwing
department.
Out some knowledge. I'm done for the day now.
No, you're not. Kathy, what else going on there? Anything? You're typing away furiously. Are you giving the ideas?
I'm typing to Judy. Okay. My friend Judy.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Judy, hopefully we gave you some ideas
there
that help you. We're going to go back over to Colin. He's going to tell us five interactive ways that content can generate web revenue.
Well, interactive content creates more reasons to visit and stay on your website. Now, for obvious reasons, they're more likely to share their information. They're more likely to subscribe and register if they spend more time on your site. They're more likely to refer others, and of course, they're more likely to return on a regular basis to your site. So here are five ways that you can increase interactivity on your website. The first and most important is quality content, and that's the reason why all you editors make the big bucks here. Quality content on your website is essential. A second way is special offers or contests or sweepstakes for people that follow your brand via social networks. And register on your site. That way you get their information. A third way, and this is right in Joe's wheelhouse, videos. Entertaining, humorous videos, entertaining games, interactive quizzes, and other types of applications to keep people on your website and spending time there. Number four, targeting your audience. Once they've registered on your website, you have their information. ASI Central, ASI in general, we do a very good job at this because we have two different sides of our business. We have the suppliers and distributors. Once they register and we know who they are, we can deliver relevant content to them as well as offers. And lastly, and could be most important over content, is updating your website. If a visitor is a regular and they've been on your website several times over the last month and they're seeing the same content, they're less likely to come back and spend more time.
Yeah, I hate that.
You know, we talked about this topic yesterday, and we had a caller, Colin, who asked, how often should you update content on a website? Well, two different people. One person said, how often should you redo your whole website? And the other person said, how often should you refresh?
Refresh? It depends on what type of business you are. I know ASI, we update every day, multiple times per day.
So think if you're a distributor. So if you're, you know, a small to mid-sized distributor, how often would you try to update content?
Weekly. With a new offer, product of the week type of thing. You can always link out to ASI Central for additional content and buyer-friendly content to push out there with videos, you know, and buyer-friendly Joe Show. Plug.
YouTube.com/
Throw something new up there weekly so somebody has a reason to stop back and spend time on your website.
I would imagine that this is where some distributors are thinking, you know, I just don't have the time to devote to that. And this is where I would say get a college student.
Definitely.
Get maybe a person who's retired, who's, you know, computer savvy, to spend an hour or two a week and just pay them a little bit of money.
Well,
yeah, even like have a college kid do an internship at your company as your web developer, mm-hmm. or your web designer, whatever.
I was talking to a distributor at the last show in Dallas, and they asked me the same thing. How do I get help to mm-hmm. do stuff like this, and someone who's savvy? And I said the same thing, a college student.
Mm-hmm.
You can get an intern and pay them nothing.
My son gets paid nothing at his internship.
I didn't get paid anything for my internship.
Me neither.
They get credits towards a class.
Right.
So you register with the Career and Academic Planning Center at your local college.
It's so easy.
And the talent rolls in.
Yep.
You know, I think that not enough people are blogging, and I think that they need to blog, and there's so many opportunities for someone in this industry to blog. I mean, think about it. We just had the Super Bowl. I mean, you're in the advertising and marketing field. What a great opportunity the following week to write a blog about the commercials, why you thought some worked, why you thought some didn't work. Coming up, we're going to have March Madness. It's another big opportunity.
And St. Paddy's Day show.
St. Paddy's Day. I mean, think of all the opportunities to write blogs about, you know, advertising, marketing, events that you can tie into. So I don't think enough people do this. Barbara Corcoran, remember Barbara Corcoran?
Yep.
Anyone? We saw her and had her at ASI shows a couple times.
She's a real estate mogul from New York.
She is, and she's, you know, pretty brilliant in the fact that she used to have these little focus groups of friends and ask them questions and then present that information to the media to say, look, here's some, you know, stats for you. You know, she said, help the media do their job. Well, you can do the same thing as a distributor. Just contact some of your clients. Do a little, you know, survey on, you know, promotional product likes, or, you know, what do you do for this event? What are you doing for that? And then that's the content that you can update weekly on your website.
And also send it to the local paper.
Sure.
Yeah. Then you become the local expert.
Yes. The local maven of promotional products information.
That's right, unless you're a guy.
Okay. And speaking of mavens, we're going back to someone who's fast, you know, and Chino is talking about her because she looked over at me with a little grimace.
She snapped to attention.
She did. She rarely ever does that when I speak. So, Michelle, seven things to know about the luxury market and its customers. This has your name written all over it.
Yes. There are seven. We're not going to talk about all seven. We'll post them again on our website. First thing, affluent consumers, which is how they're being described by experts these days, are not prone to substantial changes in their basic behavior values from year to year. Here's why. They are very loyal to brands, more so than almost any other demographic. This is evidenced by research that began in the 1970s that says once you have to do a lot to really kind of aggravate and jettison an affluent consumer. So as long as your customer service is top notch, and I would say think Nordstrom's, you know, their clients never leave for that reason. The Ritz-Carlton, another entity. Once they get, you know, clients, guests to stay, they'll stay there at whatever, you know, city they're traveling to.
Right.
One change from year to the next is not necessarily a trend, especially if it applies to a large increase in a very small percentage of the market. that is more likely to be a fad than a meaningful trend over a period of 2 years. For example, a market segment that triples from 1% to 3% is not a trend, but may be an indicator of an emerging market. So the message there is to look within the affluence market at trends that are bubbling up. So it'll take a year or two for that to happen. Mm-hmm. The last one I would say is the true affluent, who are typical careful, they're very careful spenders. So they're not spending kind of, to use a Joe phrase, willy-nilly all over the place. They will do research. They will comparison shop, which is something you would think bargain shoppers do. But no, the affluent.
No, that's why they're rich.
It is. They're
spend
very
their money wisely.
Careful about where they spend their money. The example I would give would be French women are very famous for buying one Chanel suit. Now, that one Chanel suit will cost $4,000, mm-hmm. but that will become a staple of their wardrobe. So they will look to that piece.
Right.
They'll buy, you know, one Balenciaga handbag. That'll cost $8,000, but they'll build their wardrobe around that. So they're very selective.
Whereas I buy a million Target handbags.
Rooster's face was just contorting like, what? A handbag?
So there's much more market information that we'll put on our website about the affluence market. One point to note, though, is that they, even during the downside in the recessions, continue to spend, by the way.
Yes.
Hmm. All right. Now, I want to touch on the customer service aspect there.
Yes.
Because I just had a run-in with a customer service rep. Don't oh boy me. And it was a very surreal. And at one point, I said, I can't believe they actually allow you to talk to customers because you have to be the rudest, most ignorant, arrogant, condescending person I've ever run across. So I was very displeased.
What did they say?
She said that she never raised her voice at me. I said, do you know what condescension and sarcasm is? I said, because you're, you know, full of that. And then there would be a long silence, and I would go, hello? And she goes, can I talk now? And it was just like that? Yeah, so customer service is very important. And the point is that Michelle says, you know, these places and affluent people, you know, go to the Ritz-Carlton stuff, calls mm-hmm. the customer service
they
is
want concierge superior. Service. They want concierge right. level service.
You know, I've been to hotels where you need shaving cream, and they just send you the concierge, and they give you, you know, what else do you need? In other places, they send you around the corner to the little, you know,
Walmart.
Store to buy it. You know, so it's that service that really makes you remember those places
right,
and want to go back. All right, Kathy, you and your Target bags. All right, we're going back to Karen DiTomaso. Karen, what's going on with attendees and exhibitors right now?
Hey, now while we're sitting here talking about the rich, the show floor is really pumped up right
nice.
Now. We have over 400 distributors walking the floor.
Ooh. Wow.
And we checked in with Brand Rim's booth. We have Jenny and Rachel, who are manning the booth there. First-time exhibitors, hope they're having a great experience. Good flow of visitors to the booth. Looks like they're rocking like with 2025. Now picture being in a regular show and having 25 distributors jamming in your booth. Great. So they're probably trying to keep up with them and communicate, but not to worry because all exhibitors get a list of all the attendees after the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're also checking in with American Ad Bag exhibitor Michelle. She's been busy all morning. She's had close to 40 to 50 in her booth.
Wow.
They're
so
great.
It looks like everything is really going in the right direction today, the virtual trade show.
Awesome. And you have until 3 o'clock to take advantage of the virtual trade show by going to asicentral.com/virtual trade show. Correct, Colin?
That's correct.
And then
All right.
Can you access this like tomorrow too?
It's actually going to be live for 30 days.
Oh,
on
okay.
demand. On demand.
Cool.
Nice. All right. Kathy.
What, Joe?
How do you stand out in a crowd? This is your next topic.
Well, let's see here. Well, for small business branding, you have to – standing out takes more than just touting your great services, Joe, right?
Mm-hmm.
The key to differentiating, if I could say, your business is not what you do but how you do it. Again, we go back to the Ritz-Carlton. People expect them to be consistently superior in their service to their customers, and that is one of the keys for standing out. Be consistent. Deliver what people expect from you as a brand. Be authentic also. There's nothing worse than portraying behavior you think is attractive to your customers, but it's not authentic to who you are, Joe, right?
Right.
Don't be afraid to take risks. Biz Stone talked to us about this a few weeks back in our interview with him, and he's like big on failure, Biz
mm-hmm,
Stone,
absolutely.
You know, and learning from it and taking that not as a failure, but you're taking risks and you're building your brand that way too. And you can't please everyone, so don't even try. All right, Joe?
I never do. But I believe about being authentic. I think that we work, especially in our department, a lot of people who are authentic. We are so different, and I don't think we try to be anyone
other
than who we are. especially Michelle.
I think that some of the points that Kathy mentioned, when you look at the suppliers in our industry, especially the suppliers who've won awards over the years for the Supplier of the Year and who win our Distributor Choice Awards, they all have those traits. Their service is top-notch, whether it be a Sanmar or a Leeds or a Gemline or a Logomark or a Sweda. And they're all authentic. I mean, they all have their own personalities and stick to them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Michelle. All right. Is fan sourcing the future of customer service? Colin.
It very well could be, Joe.
Well, tell us what it is.
Well, basically, it's allowing consumers to connect with fans who are knowledgeable about your products and are product enthusiasts for your company. There are a couple big companies using this tactic right now. One of them is Under Armour. Another is Skull Candy, as well as Urban Outfitters is using this. Are you paying these enthusiasts? Yes, you pay them an hourly rate, and you can even give them credit towards future products, and that even makes them even more excited about promoting your brand. And the hands-on perspective actually gives the consumer a better knowledge about the product than any customer service department could. So this one company that provides the service called Needle actually reported an increase in online purchases from about 5% jumping to about 30% when engaged in fan sourcing. So it could be the wave of the future of customer service.
So are these fans? So it would be like, if I'm understanding you, Colin, so if I'm a fan of Manolo Blahnik, they would have me answering phone calls about their shoes. Are they training me about specific questions, or am I just sitting there, you know, going on and on about how much I love the brand?
Exactly. You're going on and on about how much you love the brand and your experience and your knowledge of the product, whether it's it falls apart or the quality, that type of thing.
So it's more anecdotal rather than...
Yes, it's more real-life hands-on usage rather than, you know, this is item number 635 and the customer service rep has never actually seen or had their hands on the product. This is actually real user experience customer service.
And are these fans also, for lack of a better term, trolling on, like, the social network sites, spouting off about, you know, how great Urban Outfitters are or whoever they're...
That may be where companies like Urban Outfitters find these people. Okay. They find these fans that are touting their products and engaging with them and approaching them about providing the service to them.
All right. Well, thank you, Colin.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
From our chat room again. High Life Promotions. How do you like that name, Michelle? High Life Promotions?
Yes, I'd like it.
Anyway, someone from that company has a client that's opening his own sports league in April. He wants some unique ways to advertise for this. It's an adult sports league including basketball, softball, soccer, and football.
Ice packs. If it's for adults. I mean, it could be a fun little humorous thing. Ice packs. You know. You know, think of all the other things.
Coolers.
That you need.
Water bottles,
you know, bags for your equipment.
Towels.
Think of those things. Towels. Absolutely. Anything, you know. Ooh, Natural Trends has like a Max Freeze. It's like a Bengay type stuff. You put it on and it's going to soothe those aching joints and muscles. So that's a great idea for a direct promotional piece to market out to people. Hey, join our league. So hopefully that helps. All right, we are running out of time, but we want to go back to exhibitor again. Karen, checking in again.
Hey, we were talking to Express a Button booth, Angie, and she's getting great questions from distributors about buttons for election year. Wow, perfect. She's got about 25 people in her booth right now. Then we have Sweatband Watches, a very unique product, which is a watch and a sweatband. So if you're
That's
a jogger,
cool.
It would be great. You can customize it by color for your clients. She's got about 30 people in the booth. That's Tony, by the way.
Very good. Colin, we're going to go to you one more time on the show floor. What's happening?
Well, I just reported in from Bagworld, who Karen also talked to. They said everything's going great so far. I feel bad about talking to some of these exhibitors because their booths are packed with people. So I feel bad about cutting in and asking them questions and taking some time away.
That's what we do. We annoy.
That is our job, Colin.
No one annoys like we do.
Our authentic brand. And you know what else I suggested to this High Life Promotions? How about those sweatband watches for a sports giveaway? That would be unique,
Perfect.
And they're exhibiting today.
Perfect.
There you go. We'll send them over to that booth.
I just did.
Send them over to that booth.
If you look at the screen, that's what I did.
Kathy, I just had to change my glasses to be able to see the clock. I think I can see that screen. My word, I'm working on too many different pairs of glasses here. All right, we are all out of time. Now, don't forget, the virtual trade show is open until 3 o'clock East Coast time today, and it will be live on demand for the next 30 days. So no matter what you're doing today, you have an opportunity to jump on in and see what's going on at the virtual trade show. I'd like to thank our guests today who are in studio with us. And don't forget, ASI Radio will be live on the air next Tuesday at 10:30 East Coast time. We'll have a regular show. And the week after that, we will be interviewing the former mayor of Chicago, Richard Daley. Until then, we'll see you later. Thanks a lot. Bye.